on to our second case. Okay, United States versus Telfair. Ms. Scheiber?
Good morning. Thank you, Scheiber, for the United States.
Ms. Scheiber, I apologize.
No problem.
So, thank you for being here.
May it please the court. The district court erred when it declined to apply the sentencing guidelines cross-reference and erred when it concluded that for the cross-reference to apply, the elements of the state offense had to match the elements of a federal offense. After Marcus Telfair pleaded guilty to possessing a firearm as a convicted felon, probation recommended that the cross-reference for kidnapping be applied. The district court declined to apply the cross-reference and made several missteps in reaching this result. First, the district court declared the term another offense to be unambiguous, yet failed to put on the record any reason for that conclusion. The court did not undertake to define the term offense and did not give the guideline language its plain and ordinary meaning. Importantly, the plain and ordinary meaning of the term offense does not support the district court's conclusion. The dictionary definition of the word offense is a violation of law for which a penalty is prescribed. It has none of the limiting language the court applied to it. Specifically, the court said the cross-reference applies if the firearm was used in connection with another offense with an applicable federal offense level. That's Doc 49 at page 54. To apply the district court's interpretation, one would have to read this term another offense to say instead, a federal offense or a state offense whose elements are the same as a federal offense. This limitation on the phrase another offense reads language into the statute, or into the cross-reference, that isn't there. It also thwarts the stated sentencing commission policy of crafting a sentence that reflects all of the defendant's offense conduct. The district court's interpretation is also counter to principles of relevant conduct, which requires the court to set a base offense level that considers all of the defendant's acts and omissions. In other words, the district court read the guideline in a way that did not adhere to the policy of the sentencing guidelines. The court's limitation on the cross-reference also leads to arbitrary results, and I'd like to give you an example of that. Assume instead that the same events had taken place in Columbus, Georgia, instead of Albany, and that they were right at the Georgia-Alabama line, and that Mr. Telfair had dragged his victim from Columbus into Phoenix City across the straight lines. Because, you know, the testimony that the district court accepted was that he dragged this woman, you know, several houses down. So he was dragging her. Under the scenario of the state line crossing, that movement across the state line would have provided the interstate nexus, and the court's own comments suggest that it would have applied the cross-reference, and this cannot be a reasonable construction of that guideline provision.
Ms. Scheiber, as I understand it, Telfair objected to the pre-sentence investigation report and said that another offense means another federal offense. It's not clear to me that the district court necessarily went that far. Would you agree? And categorically excluding the possibility that another offense could be a state offense?
Yes.
But by then, it seems to me suggesting that the absence of an interstate nexus excluded this. It came pretty close to reading it that way, because virtually every federal offense
requires an interstate nexus. Precisely, precisely, Your Honor, and that is, and that is why we've kind of shorthand described her results that way, because that is precisely what she did. Is she kind of backed into it. She didn't really talk about or define another offense.
I mean, a lot of the ones that we're going to see, the most common federal offenses, have an interstate nexus, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to, and that is so. What she did was she jumped to the cross reference language, and then she jumped to the substantial to the substantive offense, and she said, "Well, it has to match exactly," and so because it doesn't match exactly, I can't apply it.
But what the guideline says to do is to look for the most analogous.
Yes.
Sufficiently analogous.
Yes.
Offense guideline, right?
And she skipped that step entirely. Now, we think she could have stopped at substantive offense and applied kidnapping if she hadn't tried to make the match exact, which she shouldn't have done. But when she didn't find that match, she didn't jump to the next analogous, and she didn't appreciate, the district court did not appreciate.
It's enough, isn't it, though, here to just say the most analogous in, part of the guideline controls, so that she would have been obliged to look to state kidnapping, which has the same actus reus.
Yes. Yes, it is enough to say that. And the district court, by making it have to match exactly, the court said, well, we do this with drugs and we can make it all match up. But she really did, the court did ignore the fact that almost every federal offense, or every federal offense, has to have a federal jurisdictional hook. And that her position overlooked that entirely. And it's why...
I mean, look, there could be a lot of federal offenses that don't have an interstate nexus, destruction of federal property, assaulting a federal officer. There could be a lot of them that don't have an interstate nexus. But the ones we see all the time do.
Your Honor is correct, but it also has to have a federal nexus of some sort, which is why, like, when assault is the one that you often see, right? That's the substantive offense that gets used in the cross reference, but assault matches up in many ways. But you can only commit federal assault either on federal property, or you assault a federal official, like, for example, a mail carrier in the course of their duties.
Yeah.
So there's still that federal hook that has to be there.
Yeah.
And so that's why all those cases that so many cases that we are cited in our briefs talk about the matchup, and they use a federal offense, but they aren't exact matches. None of them are exact matches. So, you have the drive-by shooting in Miami where they used a federal offense as the substantive offense for the cross-reference, but there was no federal hook there. So I think she just, the district court just missed that need, or she saw the need for a matchup that just wasn't present, and the cases say as much.
Mr. Telfair argues that the district court had the discretion not to apply the cross-reference. What's your response to that argument?
Strenuously disagree. Nothing in the guidelines, let me put it this way. The rule of the guidelines is, particularly with specific offense characteristics, is you start at the beginning and you apply the relevant guideline provision all the way through to the end. And so if you're following the rules of how to use your offense conduct chapter 2, you are walking through every provision. And when you get to the part of that 2K2.1 that sends you to the cross-reference, you have a duty to look to the cross-reference to see if you have a greater offense level based on that offense conduct.
But the district court would be free, after a correct calculation of the guideline range, to treat that range as advisory.
Yes, yes. And our position would be that in failing to apply, at least to apply the cross-reference in the first place and make the correct calculation, that that would be an error by the district court. And
but it might well be that if we were to vacate and remand, you would end up with the same sentence anyway, right?
Yes, we recognize that, Your Honor. Nevertheless, we do believe that she had an obligation to calculate it correctly and to understand that no direct exact matching is required, and in that respect, she failed. If there are no more questions.
I don't hear any. We'll hear from Ms. Lee.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. Jessica Lee for the appellate, Mr. Telfair. This case should be affirmed for one clear reason. Looking at the record, the district court explicitly found that this was not a kidnapping, but an assault. After hearing the testimony of three police officers, the court never found that Mr. Telfair's conduct rose to a level of kidnapping under state law or under federal law. The court explicitly found and repeated herself that, quote, at the very least, this was an assault. She never made the finding that this was a kidnapping. And so to get where the government is saying that we have to automatically apply this cross-reference, we still have to get to step one, the explicit predicate finding.
Yeah, but this is what the district court said. It explained that, quote, the elements of state kidnapping do not align with the elements of federal kidnapping. And the reason it said they don't align is because federal kidnapping requires an interstate nexus. Right?
Correct.
That's my reading of why the district court didn't apply this specific offense characteristic.
I believe we still have to get to step one. She still has to make an explicit finding that there was a kidnapping and then have to describe the nexus.
But her reason for not saying there was one is a legally erroneous one. It seems to me we're going to have to vacate and remand. It cannot be that the most analogous offense here can't be state kidnapping because it lacks an interstate element. If that's the way we're going to read the guidelines, that's going to read out a lot of what is ordinary application of the guidelines, because it's the commission of another offense is far more often than not a state offense, not a federal offense.
And while I acknowledge that's what the district court initially had said about the interstate nexus, I do think based off the framework, what she was trying to apply was looking at the elements of the state kidnapping versus the federal kidnapping. She also mentions the different means that can be completing in the kidnapping in regards to a person being in a special role. Looking at the elements, which is what she did here, she found that the state kidnapping for Georgia did not categorically match the federal kidnapping. And when we look to the federal statute of kidnapping, before we apply that guideline, federal kidnapping can be accomplished by deceit, by misrepresentation. It can be done without the use of force. And while I understand that this is kind of a question of law, but it's also a question of fact as well. And the district court in this level, as a trier of fact, repeatedly found that this was an assault.
I mean, she did say that it was an assault, and I could envision a reasonable district court saying, look, this wasn't a kidnapping because I don't think he intended to restrain this person or something like that, you know, move them from one location to another, whatever the elements of kidnapping are, right? A district court could say that, but that's not what the district court here said, right? The district court, in explaining why it wasn't a kidnapping, just said it's not a kidnapping because there was no federal nexus and because the elements of state kidnapping don't match the elements of federal kidnapping. So, I mean, like Chief Judge Pryor said, it might well be that you go back down and you convince the district court for some other reason not to apply this cross-reference. That might be. But the reason the district court gave, I guess here's my question. What would I look at in the transcript to see why the district court said this is not a kidnapping?
Because in her findings and her findings, she says, at the very least, this was an assault.
Okay, where is that?
That is on page 50
okay.
of the transcript.
Yeah, so I looked at that. Then she continues, and then on page 53, in explaining why it's not a kidnapping, she talks about federal nexus and stuff like that. So, I mean, right, she does say it's an assault, but then she says, and here's why it's not a kidnapping, right?
Right, but there would still have to be some implicit finding that the government is pushing for.
Well, here's the thing. Didn't the district court say that your client, did assault the victim in the house, drag her out of the house by her hair, and drag her at least two houses down the street, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Yeah, and under Georgia law, if you abduct or steal away a person without lawful authority or warrant and hold such person against his or her will, you commit Georgia kidnapping.
However, if that movement, that aspiration, is incidental to the commission of the underlying offense, which here is assault, then it is not kidnapping.
Yeah, and so that's, I mean, I could totally see a district court saying that and making perfect sense, but this district court said, my reasoning behind is generally in line with the defendant's position. I think the issue here is that the elements of state kidnapping do not align with the elements of federal kidnapping. And so this idea that I could apply the cross-reference that would apply to federal kidnapping to a state kidnapping simply doesn't work. The elements aren't there. He did not commit a crime. There was no interstate nexus. None of the other things. So, this just seems like this is the reasoning the district court gave for why the district court was not applying this cross-reference, was the absence of the federal nexus.
And I do think that, and the court, again, does not have to rule on this issue whether or not the federal kidnapping or the state kidnapping is the most analogous conduct with the federal kidnapping, but the district court has to still make that explicit finding that the kidnapping occurred and that this firearm was used in connection with that kidnapping.
What did the pre-sentence report say?
The pre-sentence report says, and when she goes back to make her final ruling in paragraphs 4-10, it repeatedly says this was an assault.
I'm sorry, I thought the pre-sentence report. Where is that on the pre-sentence report?
It's paragraphs 4-10.
But it also said that kidnapping under state law was the most analogous offense, didn't it?
The pre-sentence report?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you were objecting to, right?
Correct.
But that's what you were objecting to, right?
That's why we contested it, Your Honor.
Right.
And that is why we left it to the district court as a trier of fact. Mm-hmm. If she thought this was a kidnapping, she would have ruled that this was a kidnapping. She would not have left it at this.
Well, that's what she said, that she thought it wasn't a kidnapping because there was no federal nexus and that the state crime and the federal crime didn't match. Right, isn't that what she said?
She doesn't say that, yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
But I think...
I understand your position, Ms. Lee, but that's error. That's legal error. I don't know what happens necessarily on remand, but I don't see how we can ignore that.
Your Honor, I don't think the court has to decide that issue and can...
Let's just assume that we think we do. What, do you have any argument on that at all? Do you think the district court was right at all in the reasoning the district court gave? Or, I mean, do you have anything to add?
Your Honor, my response to that would be that the district court applied the same framework that this court did in Senefat and Amok. It looked at the federal statute, and it found that based off the elements and the categorical looking at the guidelines, that it was not the most analogous match. But even before we get there, I still think we go back to what's on the record here. If the court were to remand back, we still don't get past the point that this was an assault, that she never made that explicit finding that this is an actual kidnapping. And it's our position that this does not even rise to a level of state kidnapping, which is why she never made that explicit finding. And before we can even apply the cross-reference, that finding has to be made first.
Right, and maybe that's right, but why isn't this just argument that you should make to the district court about why, on the facts of this case, it doesn't match state kidnapping? I mean, that just seems like an argument you can make to the district court, right? Did you make that argument to the district court?
No, because the district court never made a ruling that this was a kidnapping. She never even made that explicit ruling, and she just jumped straight from the objections to the cross-reference.
Let's back up. Did you ask her to not apply that cross-reference because it's not kidnapping at all?
That was never addressed.
My understanding of the record was that you said that another offense had to be a federal offense.
Had to be to cross-reference to another federal offense.
Yeah. Right.
Which could be kidnapping, and it's, we're not saying that it could not be.
I mean, that's wrong. That argument's wrong, that it had to be another federal offense. It could be a state offense.
We agree, Your Honor, but I'm sorry. I take that step back.
That's not what the argument, though, was in the district court. As I understood, the defense objection was it had to be another federal offense.
Something that met the federal guidelines, something that could be charged federally. Mm-hmm. We are not taking the position that, and we can concede the fact that other offense could very well include state offenses. But in order to get to state step two in this process, we have to look at what is the most analogous guideline. And it's both a question of law and of fact here, Your Honor. I do believe that while I understand the district court made the comment about the interstate nexus, but that's not the only difference between the state and the federal kidnapping. And if there are no other further questions, Your Honor, we ask that we affirm the sentence in this case and find that Mr. Telfair's sentence is affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Ms. Schieber, you've saved a few minutes for rebuttal, if you want to use it.
Actually, Your Honor, the government will rest on its brief at this point. We would ask that the court vacate the judgment and remand to the district court to recalculate the sentencing, the base offense level.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move.